I just pray that this message would touch every life. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would help me to teach, anoint the words that I speak, because without you, I can do nothing. Anoint ears to hear with the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of you. Help us to calm our minds and, Father, to receive from your powerful word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, turn to someone and say, you know, today's message is just for you today. Now that you said that, I wonder what we're talking about today. Here we go. Here's our title for tonight. How to Handle Criticism. Okay. Here we go, someone says. We have been on a series the last month in teaching leadership traits, skills, abilities, because I believe that we as believers should become the greatest leaders this world has ever seen. Jesus was a leader. Do I hear an amen? He was such an incredible leader that not only did 11 of his disciples die for him, okay, but 2,000 years later, more people are dying for him and in his name today than ever before. That's the kind of leader Jesus was. And if you are to be like Christ, then it's time to break the mold of these, you know, just kind of this, I don't know what your picture of a Christian is, but the world's got this view of just a real wimpy, limp-wristed loser type that is just a pacifist walking around going, okay. And understand that Jesus has called us to lead. I don't care what area of life you are in. Every one of us here is called to leadership. If you are involved in a company, God wants to cause your influence in that company to cause you to be promoted where you can influence that company from a higher level. If you are in a city, if you are involved in politics, if you're in hospital, wherever you are, every one of us is called to leadership. If you are leading your children and trying to be an example for God, there is leadership. If you are just trying to change a neighbor and help them by presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you are influencing them. Influence is leadership. Don't make the mistake of thinking that position is leadership. Now, position is how this world recognizes influence, but not always. And many times, some of the world's greatest leaders never held a position. Jesus never held a position. Never had a position that the world even recognized, and he was the greatest influencer there ever was. But at the same time, in our society, God needs you as well to influence and for him to promote you. How to handle criticism will be vital for you because it is the price tag that goes with all leadership. It's criticism. I believe that over the decades and the centuries that have gone by, the reason the Church of Jesus Christ has not expanded and grown and taken territory for God is the church got too spiritual. I mean that in a negative sense. We could never get too spiritual as far as knowing Jesus. I mean spooky. Waiting for God to do everything instead of developing leadership skills. If you've got the power of God, the love of God, the joy of God, the wisdom of God, if you've got the mind of Christ and all these things, then we ought to be the leaders that are influencing this nation, this city, this province, the world, finances, government, medicine, every area. But you know what? In most cases, we're not. So my endeavor as a pastor, and if you look at almost anything that I do, is try to raise people to a place of being able to influence their block, their city, your job, your business, your family, your home, your friends, everywhere you and I go. Because then we'll raise up a church that'll influence this nation. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2 as we start out. Criticism or a leader's inability to handle criticism has been a major problem down through the years. Some people have ignored criticism when they should have paid attention. Others have been governed by criticism and literally lead, depending upon what their critics are saying. A famous basketball coach once said that when a coach listens to the stands too much, he'll soon be in them. And so we must know how to handle criticism. I'm going to start off before we give you some thoughts on this from Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 16. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and do his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Now, the Bible does not use the word criticism, not in the King James, New King James. They use complaining, murmuring, disputing. It says, do all things without this, that you may become blameless, harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked, perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. We are living in a society where criticism is now a paid art. We pay critics to criticize theater. We pay people to criticize our government. We call them the official opposition. We've developed a society where if somebody has got a way to tear somebody down with their mouth, we think that's pretty cool. We buy things like the Inquirer, the Star, After All, inquiring minds want to know. And all it is criticism, criticism. We live in a world where if you are going to be a leader, you must deal with it. And so today's message is vital. That even if you don't feel you're a leader, if you develop these skills now, you can rise to leadership you never dreamed possible. There's two things today that I hope to accomplish with this message. The first is that every one of us understands the leadership art of dealing with criticism. And the second thing is, if you are a person who is tired of how critical you are, if you're tired of how every time there is a response to anything, you critique it, you are critical of it, not critique it in a positive sense, but anything that comes through your heart, your mind, your mouth, that's just being critical, and everyone around you knows that you've tried to change, but you can't. The notes from this message, the tape of this message today, go over it and over it until God just takes you to a new level, and you can be, the Bible says, an encourager of the brethren, not a discourager of the brethren. Well, let's get into our lesson. Let's just number some of these and get into some thoughts on why criticism happens. To understand why is to really deal effectively with it in your own heart and when it comes against you as God takes you through leadership and for the rest of your life. We call it destiny. Number one, a leader's job is generally dealing with change, which is often uncomfortable and threatening to some. Okay, a leader's job is generally dealing with change, which is often uncomfortable and threatening. When you make somebody uncomfortable, they're going to criticize you. When you threaten someone, they're going to probably criticize you. And a leader's job, if you are leading your children, what are you doing? You are trying to get them to change from a child into an adult. What is an adult? What is a child? And what are all the steps in between? Your job as a parent is to lead them in that. And how many know there can be uncomfortable times as you lead your child to adulthood? When it comes to being in the church, if you are leading a team of volunteers or paid staff, as you go through changes, people get worried and fearful. What's in it for me? What when change happens, will I be out of job? Am I out of, is there a problem here for me? In companies especially, any kind of change or rocks position or the boat or paychecks, it makes people uncomfortable. And because a leader's priority is to lead in change, to lead people somewhere, which means a change of scenery in the least, people will feel threatened. People will feel uncomfortable. And when you cause people to feel threatened or uncomfortable, they'll be critical. Example of, see, Romans 12:2 says there literally that you and I should be changing all of our lives. Don't be conformed to the way this world is, but you be transformed or changed. The word transformation means deeper change than just changing a habit. It says that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'll give you an example that change is uncomfortable. If you want a great healthy body, do you have to get uncomfortable? Yeah, you do. You got to know what it is to sweat a little bit. You know what it is to not eat everything you always want to eat. It means stretching some muscles, working out till they burn a little bit. It means doing things that are uncomfortable now because the reward is to live longer on the earth with a healthier body, to enjoy it more. If you want a great job, probably you're going to have to go and further your education. Say, oh man, I'm done grade 12. You're telling me university? Yeah. You're probably going to have to go get some extra classes and courses and degrees or whatever. Because as you do, you probably have a better chance at getting a better job. Now, is it comfortable to necessarily, no, this bit about studying exams, cramming all night to write an exam in the morning, not getting that good a mark, and then going to summer school, trying to make up for it and learn things, and all this stuff that goes into learning in a university or college, it can be uncomfortable. But you see, if you want change in your life, you have to embrace and understand that. Leaders understand that. Many of the people they lead don't. Why do people criticize you? Could be because you're leading in change. If you're a leader and nobody criticizes you, you're probably changing nothing. Number two, here we go. Leaders are often moving on towards their next future goal, even when their present position isn't being managed perfectly. Okay? Think about a wagon master. About a few months ago, I did a message about a wagon train. And how the Church of Jesus can be likened to a wagon train. Years ago, they opened up the Wild West, where people would load up their wagons and they would begin to westward ho. And the person in charge of the wagon caravan was a wagon master. Every night, usually, they would camp out, build a fire, cook, rest the animals, feed them, look after sores and saddle blisters, and get around the campfire, get to bed early and sleep because the next morning was another trek. His job was to take this wagon train somewhere, and you can bet people were critical of how he did it. And I'll bet others had a better idea just to travel along the river or through the field or around the bush instead of through or around the mountains instead of over or whatever his decisions were. But you see, it was more important to him to go west than how scenic the camping spot is tonight. Now, somebody might be critical and say, you know, if you'd have gone 30 minutes down the road as they're traveling the next day and see a beautiful spot for camping, which would have been awesome instead of that dry old prairie we camped on, they could have been right. But you see, in accomplishing the goal of getting them west, that criticism, although correct, is unnecessary. See, in leadership, if you sit in one position, one location, waiting until you've got everything perfect before you move on down destiny's path, you could be waiting a long time. I'll give you an example. Did you wait after having your first child until you were a perfect parent before you had the second? No. But a long time. It would have been a long time waiting. So listen to this. Leaders are often moving on towards their next future goal, even when their present position isn't being managed perfectly. So the critics who have finally examined everything you've done and finally have a whole list of the things you could do better and are going, there's already dust behind you because you're on to the new location. And they're critical of where you were, not where you are now, because you're already on the move. Someone say amen. That's cool. Number three. Why criticism happens. Criticism can arise when people can't see the future as clearly as the leader. Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, where there is no vision, people perish. Did you know the greatest, by far, most incredible leadership book is this Bible? Yet how much has religion read it, preached on it, only to preach a condemning, condescending, you are a nothing and a worm philosophy that leaves Christians weak and unable to really bring change in their societies. Criticism can arise when people can't see the future as clearly as a leader. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, people perish. I was reading an article quite a while ago about, I forget what big chain of stores it was, and Walmart or something like that, who were training this lady's son to collect the carts off the parking lot. Now you would think, well, how long should the training period be? Get the cart, put it in the cart slot, training done. But oh no, they took half a day to train this guy to collect carts. You're thinking, well, what does he have to do? I'll tell you what they were doing. They were painting a picture for this young man. of how vital it was in the vision of what this company is doing, that he picks up those carts off the parking lot, gets them in place. It's going to make shoppers spend more money. It's going to make them happier as they walk through the shopping mall. It's going to, he came home, "Mom, I'm in trouble. Well, my job is important. I'm telling you that if I don't get those carts off the lot and the 15 things that go on," he was excited. Why? Because of the job of picking up the carts? No. Because of the vision of what his part played. Vision casting. It's one of the most powerful things you will do as a leader. If you're going to raise your children for God, quit talking with them about just the process of discipline and do this and do that, and paint them a picture of what discipline will do in their lives. It'll get them the best jobs. It'll get them great marriage. It'll make them great parents. Paint a picture of what the process is going to do in their lives. Vision casting is the greatest way to encourage people to follow. And when you don't cast a vision properly, people who are following you will be critical. They're losing that vision because you're not painting a clear enough picture. Number four. When people don't have enough information or data, they can become critical. Habakkuk chapter 2 says, "Write the vision down. Make it plain that those who read it can now run with it." God's called you to be a leader. Even if you present Jesus to people, you're going to have to paint a picture of what Christianity is. You either paint a vision of what Christianity is with your life, and you might think you're not, but people are watching you. You can say all you want, but you're painting a picture of what Christianity is like with your life. And as they need information, often they just want to know more. And in a company, in a corporation, in a church, what in your company, wherever you are, there are times when people hang on to all of the important information because information is power. But sharing information with those that are working with you and following you is going to be vital. Many people are critical of your leadership just because you haven't shared pertinent information with them. You haven't shared with them and told them a lot of the data that is important and significant to them. Number five, when things get difficult, the vision can grow dim. Moses is a great example of this. Boy, when things got rough, people started to become murmurers, complainers, critical of his leadership. When things were going really well, "Whoa, Moses, you're the man. Yay, Moses. Yay, Moses." They tell us that most of the decisions you make in life, in your home, company, politics, wherever you're involved in leadership, 98% of the decisions you make in life could be made by any high school graduate. The reason they pay you to be a leader is for the 2% of the decisions you make that are incredibly hard. See, real leaders rise up in times of storm. When it looks as though all hell is breaking loose, when pressure comes to bear, when people are screaming five different things and no one wants the same thing and you've got to make a decision as a leader, that's when real leadership skills rise up. See, as a leader, a Christian, when you are involved working for a company, when things get difficult in that company and everyone starts blah, 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 what are you going to do? Because that's the time when promotion will begin to flow. Leaders who are wise are always watching their companies, wherever they are. Church, God is watching you. You know, even God watches you and I during storms because he knows that anybody can lead when things are easy. What we need to know is, can you lead when things are rough? Can you lead when things are tough? A boss will always notice great performances during difficult times because that's when it's hard to come by. Number six, we're talking today about why criticism will come your way as a leader. These are vital to learn these. People may be critical of you as the leader and your leadership because they see a genuine problem. Now that's a thought. Most leaders, if you've been a leader for a while anywhere, the first thing you do is write all critics off. Peanut gallery. But if somebody with a critical attitude was to examine your life or my life through a telescope, would they find problems? Yes, me and three people are honest here today. Yes, they would, because there's no perfect living people present. Or we're going to cast the spirit of lion out of you, okay? So none of us could handle the scrutiny of examining everything you do. So you know what? When your critics come against you and criticize your leadership and criticize what you do, they will find things that are probably true. Now, if they don't like you, boy, that bugs me when someone who doesn't like me finds something I am doing wrong. They irritate you too? Remember, they're probably exaggerating it, of course. Everybody thinks. When people use sweeping terms, remember that's never everybody. It's them and their three friends, but that's everybody in their circle. But remember, they could be right. And if your friends don't love you enough to slap you verbally once in a while and say, hey, come on, look at this. Your enemies definitely will. And they'll find the things you're doing wrong. So if you're wise, you won't ignore all criticism. Even when it's in a wrong spirit, look at it, think about it. If it's wrong, chuck it. Don't let it bother you. But remember that it could be that they're seeing a genuine problem. You see, leaders are so involved in future, going somewhere, getting somewhere, looking ahead, they often miss the sand traps below and the things that are going wrong right around them. And they need people to see that. Every one of us has 180 peripheral vision at the best, which means I can see my hand here and I can see my hand right to about there. And it goes out of my sight. That's about a 180 that I can see. But there's a whole 180 behind me that I'm not seeing. Others become the mirror that I look at my life through their eyes. Hopefully, you've nurtured great friendships who will watch your back and your problems and your weaknesses for you. But if they don't, remember, your critics always will. Number 7. Some people, why do people criticize? Some people need more time to prepare for something new. So their initial response is always negative. If you work on a team and you got this new idea, you thought it through, man, you've been thinking about it for a few weeks, you go, hey, everybody, I got this idea. One guy you know will always go, no way. And you're expecting him to say that. Why? Well, it could be that he needs more time. There are some people who need more time to make decisions. In every marriage that's present, there is one of you who makes decisions quicker than the other. Now, the person who makes decisions quicker than the other can kind of get frustrated and go, are you with me or not? And the person is with them. What they want is a little more time to make the decision. So it could simply be that people need more time. Number 8. People who have been hurt by leaders in the past have a hard time trusting their criticism. It comes from woundedness. Their criticism comes from woundedness. There are people in our church that have been here for years who would walk up to me after 3 or 4 or 5 years and just say, you know, Pastor, after it's now that I'm beginning to trust you and accept you. And up to that point, man, they were critical. Everything I did, I had to prove myself overside, upside, downside. Why? They'd been hurt by a leader before. Remember this. As you learn to lead, there are no perfect followers. You will not find them. Even worse, you will never be a perfect leader. So give them some grace. They'll give you some grace. People who've been hurt often are critical from their own hurt. Have you heard the saying that hurting people hurt people? Yeah. All right, number 9. We're winding down on why people criticize. People who are jealous of leaders or haven't received the position they desire can personally attack a leader with criticism. Boy, this can be some of the most unhappy times in a company, or if you're a politician or a pastor or a leader anywhere, when someone takes you on personally and begins to criticize you and lie about you even and come against you, even bring out things you have done wrong and embellish it and exaggerate it and just nail you with it. And the real reason why they are doing it is because they're jealous about your position. Maybe they've been overlooked by someone for a position. Psalms 106 verse 16 says that the children of Israel were jealous, envious of Moses and of Aaron. Even Moses' own family criticized him publicly. And God dealt with them. It's an incredible story how God dealt with them and said, man, don't you touch my leaders with your mouth. So it's important as a leader to recognize there will be people around you who'll be flowing with you, who they're going to take you on because they're envious, they're jealous. Those aren't fun times, but it'll really prove to the rest of the people around you what kind of a leader you are. Are you going to respond to this junk? Are you going to become bitter, angry? Are you going to respond to this in a worldly negative way? Or are you going to rise and go to a new level in leadership? Number 10. This is my favorite one and my last thought under why. Here we go, number 10. Criticism is an attractive option for some. It implies that they could have done better without making them prove it. Criticism is an attractive option for some. It implies that they could have done better without making them prove it. It is easier to criticize than create. I heard this comment, read this comment in a book. It said, to find fault is a cheap, common gift. Tons of people have it. But to create, to build, to be an entrepreneur, to do something through the blood, sweat, tears, time, money, to invest yourself in doing something worthwhile and meaningful, that's work. That's labor. And so people who are very critical, I have discovered, and so have many business owners have discovered, hey, that when people are a part of a team, rolling up their sleeves and getting involved, they are usually the least critical. I've noticed in our church that the people who are laboring with us, we probably got about 1,000 or more people that are involved somewhere in ministry. They are the most wonderful people. They are rolling up their sleeves. They get around behind the scenes and see the dedicated staff, the pastors working all the extra time. They see the volunteers putting in extra time. And they walk around just going, oh man, this church is incredible. And then I'll get a letter from Joe Do-Nothing in the church. He just sits there, doesn't do a thing, but he understands and knows everything we should do. Here's the 7 things for this week, Pastor, you should be doing right. I can usually tell by the tone of the letter that he's not involved. He's a critic. And criticism is an attractive option for some because it implies they could have done better without making them prove it. Let's make sure that we don't spend our lives being critical or critics. Let's spend our lives using the gifts God's given us to create, to help, to be a blessing, to raise up people around us and to do something special with our lives. I don't want to go to my grave at 120 years old and I stand before God and God says, Leon, what did you do? I said, oh boy, I criticized at all the right times. I tore down the stuff that was man-made. I told them off. I made sure everybody walked circumspectly. No, I want to say, God, I honored, blessed, encouraged. Believers should be encouragers. We should be believers in people, believers in their gifts, believers in what they can do. Don't let the spirit of this world, this critical. There can be a spirit of criticism that gets on a company, that gets on a church, that gets on. And when that thing starts to go rampant, it is like the very devil himself is at work. And he is. Because where there is strife, there is every evil work as a leader. Never forget these 10, and these are not limited as the onlys, but here's 10 good reasons why people will criticize you. And if you're here and you're trying to change because you're critical, look through this, get your notes, get your tape of this message, go through it and through it, and ask God to help you to become a builder, not a person that tears down. Now, let me in closing read you just 5 little lines of how you should be handling criticism. Here we go. How to handle criticism. Number 1, don't automatically reject it. Don't automatically reject it. Leaders in any area can so quickly get used to being shot at that the first thing they do is put up this shield, and the second you are critical, they just write you right off as the peanut gallery. But don't reject criticism automatically. It pays to look at it. Not to get yourself, not to browbeat yourself and, oh, I'm a lousy leader. Not to have low self-esteem and to fall down and give up. Oh, I quit these people. And Moses even did that a couple times. But don't reject it automatically. Number 2, don't be discouraged. Let's go back to number 1 for 1 second. I'm sorry. When it comes to criticism, in case I don't say this in close, let me remind you of this. That as a leader, criticism or a piece of that criticism could be right. And it could help you to avoid future shipwreck. It could help you. Now, I don't like getting criticism from people with bad attitudes when they got a point. And you know what? I normally don't even tell them when they got a point. But I always look at it, read it, say, God, someone talks to me, say, okay, thank you. And just pray about it. You know, I know my heart right away. I used to have such low self-esteem that criticism would literally destroy me for a month. One critical comment would just wipe me out. I would need everybody around for a solid month to encourage me. You're wonderful. You the man. To make me, kind of pick me up. But you know, as you grow and develop leadership, you quickly recognize that Peter Daniels is a great leader. And in one of his conferences one time, a question was asked him, what is the single most important ingredient to being a great leader? And he said without hesitation, the ability to handle pain. Well, I think one of the reasons is that criticism brings pain. Now, criticism from outside your team, company, church, et cetera, usually is handled not too bad. But if it comes from somebody close to you, whoa, it can hurt. Whoa, it can really upset your apple cart. So when we do need to criticize, okay, now let's just talk about this for a minute. When you know there's something wrong, say, Pastor, are you telling us to never, ever look at anything in a negative light? No, I'm not. But if you see something that is wrong in your company or in your church, or you see something that you feel, you know, then don't tell your 15 friends over coffee who tell their 15, who tell their 15, who tell their 15, who tell their 15. Then handle it with honor and with integrity. Go to the person involved. Share with them your perspective. Because you could be wrong. But just present it to them. Do it with an attitude of submission. Submission says, you know, I wanted to share something. I could be wrong, but it's just something I want to share with you. And you know what? People will look at you and say, you know, they love me enough to even risk our relationship and to risk looking negative to come and just share that thought with me. Thank you. And others, they just walk in like a bull in a china shop. Hey, you ought to be doing this. What's wrong with you? And very few leaders can handle that. It's kind of like, well, write that guy off. But learn how to handle criticism when it comes against you. And if you see something that's going to endanger a company, a team, a church, then just learn how to handle it properly within the proper channels of bringing that to someone who in turn can make the correction. All right, number two, and how to handle criticism, don't be discouraged. When you get a lot of criticism, you can kind of go, wow, what am I doing this for? I could go anywhere else and get a better job than this. Don't be discouraged. The faster you run as a leader, the more you accomplish as a leader, the higher you fly in the destiny God's called you to, the better your critics get. What a depressing thought. But if you know this ahead of time, then you don't look, oh, am I doing this bad? No. And in fact, the greater you do, if Jesus Christ himself couldn't stop all the criticism, you won't either. So make a decision. I'm going to run for God. I'll look at the criticism, but I don't have time. I listened to a great motivational speaker, a pastor one time, share this story of a lady that sent him a letter during one of his conferences, tore him apart as to his motives behind doing this conference. That afternoon, she handed him the letter as he walked out. That afternoon, he went to his hotel room and pulled this letter out and hoping, you know, whenever you get a letter, you hope it's encouraging. And he peels this thing open. I mean, like, he went through this thing and almost started to cry. How could she misread my motives so much? So he sat down at his laptop in his room and started to think of a way to get back to this lady. And let her know, I'm not like that. That's not my motives. He sat there and he scrunched one paper and threw it at the waste paper basket. And he'd print out another one and he'd look at that and he'd throw it in the... Finally, he's sitting there and he's thinking. And God just spoke to him and said, what are you doing? As he tells the story, he says, oh, I just said, God, this lady, she's criticizing me. She has no idea what I'm all about. God just spoke to his heart and said, you think that your letter's going to change her mind? You haven't spent 3 hours writing your mother, let alone a critic. He got up free and realized that in life, There will be people who will not agree with you. They will attack you, criticize you. You've got to be able to handle that. Don't be discouraged. Number three, don't be controlled by it. There are some people who wait for the letters and the criticism and people to say things to know which way the people are going so they can make their decision as a leader. Listen, to be a leader means to lead. Isn't that a thought? To be a leader means to be in front. To be a leader means to do it first. To be a leader means to be an example. To be a leader means to be out there pushing the bush, clearing the path for others, not turning around, walking back. And now, of course, we talk with people and consult with people and share. We're talking about leadership. Don't be controlled by criticism. Number four, if it's somebody on your team, then seek to discover the reason behind the criticism. Do you have a wounded staff person? Do you have a person that's jealous, envious, and will not change? You are probably going to have to fire them. Christians don't fire people, want to bet? Understand, discover the reason behind it. Is this person just immature and has no concept of what they're doing and need to be talked about and taught and mentored and raised up? There's 10 reasons we just got why people criticize. Try to look at that person who works with you or serves under you or is on the team and discover the reason behind it instead of just writing them off automatically as, yeah, you're a loser or you're from the peanut gallery. Discover the reason behind it. And number five, always pray that you both would change. Always pray that you both would change. The Bible says, pray for those who despitefully use you, come against you. Pray for them. That way, your leadership response will be one of honor and excellence. And as you pray for them, God really could change their heart. Now, did you know that some of my best leaders that are flowing with me in this church were some of my worst critics? They were just people that needed more information, needed to hear about the vision, needed to see year after year me prove myself, my motives, my heart. You're a leader. The skills that we've just talked about, the things that we've just learned tonight will assist you in leading. And I don't care where you are, what you do, what your job is, God's called you to influence people. Your neighbors might criticize you because of your stand for Christ. People at work might do it. But we need to develop an attitude of how to handle criticism. Father, I thank you tonight for these special people that are here. Father, we're all developing, learning, growing. Jesus, you handled criticism. It was some of the worst criticism that could ever come against a person. A leader. It came against you. You know what it is to be criticized. You know what it is to feel the hurt that many people here have felt from criticism as they've tried to lead their lives and influence others. Father, I just pray you'd bless each person, each leader. Cause them to be great influencers. Cause those that have not had a chance to lead in very many places yet to develop these skills, so they're ready to lead as you open the door of promotion. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed for just a moment, I believe there are people that are here right now, and you've heard me teach about Jesus. Maybe you've had the wrong idea. Maybe you thought that serving Jesus meant just being a wimp and a nobody wishy-washing through life. But as you heard this message, you realize that God has called you to be awesome. He's called you to have a life of significance. He's called you to impact and influence people. The Bible is all about training and equipping you to be like Jesus, who was the greatest leader that ever lived. But God can't get involved in your life until you pray a prayer, the most powerful prayer I know. It is one of being forgiven for every mistake and thing you've done wrong, and then giving your life to this Jesus Christ, who really is the one who has prepared a destiny and a plan for your life. And you'll never walk in it without Jesus. You've never met anybody like him. And when you pray this prayer tonight, there will be a peace that passes all understanding, a joy that only Jesus can bring, and a hope that gives you an assurance, I'm going to make it in my future. Before I lead everybody in this prayer, all of you right now sitting in this auditorium that say, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus, or I need to rededicate my life and come back to serving him like I used to, slip your hand up all over the congregation saying, yes, I'm giving my life to Jesus right now. Thank you. Thank you. Others, just slip your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Others, just lift your hand saying, thank you. I'm thank you. I want to give my life. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm giving my life. Thank you. To Jesus Christ. Thank you over here. Thank you. Thank you. Others, say, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Just put your hand up so I can see it, and then just put it right back down. Thank you. Thank you over here. Thank you over there. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. This is very special. This is a very important time. You are making incredibly awesome decisions right now that are going to affect you the rest of your life. I'm going to ask everyone here to pray this prayer with those who have raised their hand, giving their lives to Jesus, making by far the most important strategic decision of their lives to involve Jesus Christ in their future, to invite him into their heart. This prayer goes like this. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me for everything I've done wrong. All of it. Please come into my heart. Come into my life. I choose to serve you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. From tonight and on, I desire to serve you. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.